Klamath County's Meals on Wheels program for seniors is having some issues these days. There's no lack of interest in the program, but stop us if you've heard this refrain before. There's a lack of money to keep all the people who want traveling meals served. The program is run out of the Klamath Basin Senior Citizens Center, where Mark Kane is the director and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange today. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jeffrey. It's a pleasure to be on the radio with you today.
And I understand from having gotten you on the phone a few moments ago that you, too, are suffering with the crud that seems to be going around. So my apologies, and thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, and then it went into an inner ear infection, so watch out.
Yikes. I think we could probably spend an entire section of the exchange this week talking about people's ailments, but yikes. Let's talk about the Meals on Wheels program, Mark. How many people are currently served by that program in Klamath County?
Well, we have two different meals programs. One, we call a congregate meals program. That's people that come into our facilities for meals during the day, which we do every weekday. And then we have the Meals on Wheels program, which is sends out about 135 meals every day, three on Friday. So we send a hot and two frozens out on Friday. So we serve those 7 days a week to about 135 people. Add the two up, and you get 60,000 to 70,000 meals a year.
Wow, that's between the congregate and the Meals on Wheels program.
Right, exactly.
So there is basically the congregate amounts to a walk-in program. It's basically a meals served to people who can't actually get to the Klamath Basin Senior Citizen Center.
Well, we also have a transportation program too, so some people who don't have transportation can come to the center, get a free ride to do that as well, and then they can get a meal here, as well as participate in other activities. So meals, by the way, is, of course, an important nutritional thing, but getting people to the programs as well is important. So the transportation gets people to meals, which is a social event as well as a nutritional event, keeps people connected. The same way with our Meals on Wheels program. We go to them. We frequently may be the only people they see in any given day. And if sometimes you'll find people falling on the floor and you'll have to call for other resources and so forth. But so it starts out as nutritional, which is very basic and critical, but it's also a way to keep people connected to community as well.
And is this the first time, I understand, that you've had a waiting list for Meals on Wheels?
Well, it's the first time since I've been here I've asked. And historically, I guess we did have a waiting list for a short period of time, sometime in the late 90s, I guess. And but this has been a difficult time. I'm just finishing up my second year here. The first year here, I came in, the agency was nearly on the brink of bankruptcy because we'd been using our reserves so heavily to serve people that weren't funded. And we kind of got that turned around and got things leveled out again. But then came the federal sequester. And on top of the federal sequester, which cut about $40,000 out of our budget, then came a conservative group of county commissioners who, well, the county used to give us an average of $50,000 over the last 10 years. They cut that out completely. And then we did a very creative program with the city, but it still resulted in a reduction in funding. And we can talk about that in a minute. But so all in all, just in the Meals on Wheels program, we lost about $100,000 in funding just this year. And so it was inevitable at some point during this fiscal year, which ends in June, that we were going to run out of funds and the demand would exceed the supply, so to speak.
So $100,000 short out of a total budget of what, Mark?
Well, our agency budget is about $800,000 and some. Almost $900,000. And, of course, that covers a lot of other activities as well. About half of our budget goes to our meals program. And so it's like $470,000, I believe, goes into our two meals programs here at the center and on the Meals on Wheels program.
All right. So that represents, it looks like, around a quarter then of, or maybe even more, of what you've been putting into the Meals on Wheels program.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, we were fortunate. Last year, Atrio Health Plans and Cascade Comprehensive Care and our local hospital organization, Sky Lakes Medical Center, teamed up and made a grant to us for $50,000. That, in large part, is how we're making it through this year. And, of course, but that was a one-time, it appears, grant. So what we're really needing people to hear in this story and anywhere else where you hear us is that we need to somehow replace our loss of funding with recurring gifts. And I know your audience, for example, me included, gives a gift to you every month, okay, for my credit card, and we're hoping people will do the same for the Senior Center as well and for the Meals on Wheels program.
Something like a subscription, in essence, or our membership, I guess, is the way you're looking at it.
Well, yeah, and we put out a new coupon format, for example, in our monthly newsletter, which gets distributed with our local paper to, you know, like 16,000 people, and but the uptake has been slow, if almost non-existent. And, you know, we put a little coupon in there that said, you know, yes, I'd like to do a recurring gift. Here's my credit card number, but. It's going to take a while to get people to respond to that, it looks like.
Absolutely. This is the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio. Mark Kane is our guest. He's with the Klamath Basin Senior Citizen Center, and we're talking about the Meals on Wheels program serving Klamath County and other programs at the Senior Center that are facing some issues because of lack of money. We don't have the phones available today because we don't have a screener available today. Both Reed and Charlotte away. I'm Jeffrey Riley. You can email us at jx@jeffnet.org. You had mentioned, so you said something about city funding, and there was some Klamath Falls city funding in here as well in the mix?
Oh, yeah, we did something really creative with the city, I thought. Last year, the year before this one, we went to the city and asked for Meals on Wheels funding, and the city was gracious and gave us $35,000, but they had to scratch their head for a bit to figure out where to get it. Somebody found out that, well, let's give it to the Senior Center out of the low-income senior snow removal fund. That's a fund that they have to help seniors get their walk shoveled instead of getting a ticket, because by ordinance here, if you don't shovel your snow off your walk, you get a ticket. And so they don't like to do that for seniors. So they gave us the money out of that fund because the fund had money. This year, we went back and said, well, why don't we just manage that fund for you, and we'll fund the Meals on Wheels out of it as well. The way it worked was we would manage the fund for them, sign up the seniors for snow removal, and every time we would shovel a walk with a volunteer, the money, instead of going to a snow removal contractor, would go to the Meals on Wheels fund. So it's kind of like a billiard shot funding program.
You had to bank it off a couple of walls to get that into the pocket, right?
Exactly. And I thought it was pretty creative. There was only one problem, which we didn't anticipate. It hasn't snowed.
Ah, that would tend to put an impact in the program, wouldn't it?
It would. We've only had two like really puny snows this year, one in December and a little one in January. And, of course, you know that story well enough. The precipitation is very poor. Both there and here. And so while it was a very creative idea, I think it might work next year, but this year so far it's not produced much for us.
But this is the situation you find yourself in, though. I mean, it sounds like you really can't, between the sequester and the county funding, so you got federal and county cuts in money, you really can't continue to depend on the same sources of money as before, but it takes a while, it sounds like, to work a new muscle into play, which is getting people to think in terms of fundraising for the Senior Center.
Right, and that's true. And we've had a few people read the articles or listen to the radio stories and so forth. A very gracious couple walked in the week before last. The couple lives out in Derry, Oregon, and gave us $1,800. And so that allowed us to take 12 people off the waiting list for 30 days. Approximately, and so that'll be good. But you know, at the end of the 30 days, we're hoping somebody else or some collective group of others will step up to, so we can maintain that through the rest of the year. In the meantime, though, the good news is that the waiting list is going down. The Area Agency on Aging here, which manages the waiting list, they're working hard to scrutinize the list to make sure that only the eligible people remain on the list. And so a month ago we had 42 people on the list. Now we have 21 people on the list, and they've set up a priority system. So when people do step up to give us money to serve the waiting list, we're only serving those that are most in need.
And what is the eligibility line, Mark?
Well, there actually is no monetary or fiscal eligibility program for this. This is all based on your ability to produce and make a meal for yourself. So the first priority listing is for those coming out of the hospital who live alone, who wouldn't otherwise, because of their hospitalization and their recuperation period, they would need help, and wouldn't otherwise be able to make a meal. So that's the first priority. The second priority is those basically who are largely shut-ins, who live alone, who frequently don't have relatives in the area and so forth, and they're like the people I was telling you earlier that we might, you know, find falling on the floor and nobody else comes to check on them or whatever. And so that's the second priority group, and that's the group that we're targeting mostly right now. And then there are two other lower priority groups, but it's that second group that we really are in critical need of supporting. Otherwise, they go without a meal and maybe any other contact throughout the day.
Mark Kane, it sounds like a series of tough choices, though, as you talk about taking people off the waiting list because you have money on hand at the moment, because you had mentioned that you inherited a situation where a lot of reserves were spent. I mean, so you're trying to help people, but at the same time, make sure you can continue to help people in the future, and that sounds like an unenviable sort of task.
It is a tough task, balancing, you know, on the brink of bankruptcy on one side, okay, versus feeding people who would otherwise go unfed on the other side. And, yeah, that's a tough deal. So we hope people will, you know, step up and help us out with that. You know, somebody told me, we had a new person come on our board, by the way, a former county commissioner, Al Schweitzer, who was real helpful in getting us funding in the past. And he reminded us, he couldn't remember where the quote came from, and neither can I, but, you know, the quality of communities are measured by the compassion they show to their seniors and their children. And that's what we're counting on, is that people will maintain that quality of community, of relationship that's focused on their seniors and their children first and make sure that they're taken care of.
Given the challenges then facing with the Klamath Basin Senior Citizen Center with funding, I mean, do you have somebody in a position of development director or somebody else who's really just focused on looking for new sources of revenue?
Oh, well, that's another enviable place to be. You know, as I said, when I came in here to the center, we were fairly close to bankruptcy, but we've built a small reserve since then, very small. But first, of course, the efforts had to be toward trimming the staff down. And so administration here essentially is one finance person and one executive director and a volunteer coordinator and a receptionist. And so the rest of the staff, of course, is kitchen staff and transportation staff and so on. A very small staff of about 16 people, almost nobody full-time, including myself. And so, it would be nice to have someone who walked through the door and see the development director for a while. That would be great.
Right, and maybe somebody listening has got that experience out there and willing to donate a few hours. You did apparently go back to the county commissioners about a month ago and ask about re-upping some of the money that the county commissioners had given in the past for Meals on Wheels. How did that go over?
Well, it all depends on how you look at it. We didn't walk away with any new money. We walked away with a much better view in the public eye of where we stood because people, you know, look at how the commissioners behave. So even though they didn't give us any additional money, I think that's what triggered some of that donation, for example, from Derry that I mentioned. And so, you know, we keep going if for no other reason to keep our appeal in the public eye. So that's helpful, but you know, they mentioned that, well, gee, we'd have to go back to the budget committee and we'd have to take a look at this and so forth. And I'm saying, well, this is kind of an emergency. This is really no, and a disaster. This is really no different than, you know, us having an earthquake, which we actually had a few years ago, and the courthouse falling down, which actually happened. That's no different. It's just people, not a building. And so... We have to think of it as more than just people. That's people that are in critical need of help, and it's a disaster, and it's an emergency, and ought to be responded as well. So,
given the, and we talk about this a lot, about the graying of America, which is perhaps more starkly reflected in our region because it's a good place to be, therefore a good place to retire, that can we assume that there'll be greater need, greater desire anyway over time for things like the Meals on Wheels program in Klamath County?
Well, Klamath County, by the way, is sometimes referred to as Oregon's best-kept secret. and because it's a good place to live, and a lot of people retire here. So you have a lot of things happening. You have the natural graying of America, as you call it, or the baby boomers boom. And but because we are an attractive place to live, I think Klamath County perhaps has a larger population of elderly than maybe other areas would. And so, yeah, there's going to be increasing demand as time goes on. And so we're going to need to find among all of those people willing to step up and help their elderly neighbors and with recurring gifts, or it won't happen.
Get people to learn to flex that fundraising muscle, as it were, for Klamath Basin Senior Citizen Center. Mark Cain is the director at the Klamath Basin Senior Citizen Center, and we've been talking about the Meals on Wheels program and other programs at the center and the issues they face with money. Mark, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey. It's been a pleasure to talk with you.